Hey guys, this is Guy Agostini, aka Sunspot himself, and if I can't be hanging out with Jubilee, I'm happy to be hanging out with the Power of X-Men Familia. Hope you survive the experience.
Blink, I am so excited for today's episode. We have Guy Agostini, aka Sunspot from X-Men 97 on the podcast today.
The heartthrob of X-27 is here with us. I'm so excited. I can't believe we have a new mutant on the cast of X-Men 97, let alone one that will agree to our shenanigans for, you know, however long this goes.
Oh my God, I love it. I was talking to his publicist and I was like, oh, we only need him for like 45 minutes. It'll be totally fine. And here we are at the end of a 2-hour interview recording the intro for it.
Publicists should know by now, I would think.
They should know us just by now that we're lying. This isn't true.
Like, we're not trying to lie to you. We're not trying to make, you know, take up your entire evening. But when we get to talking about X-Men, especially with somebody who is so open and friendly, like Guy was, it's just incredible. I this was one of the most fun interviews I think we have done.
I have to tell you, I think when I was sitting down and I was listening to him talk about his journey as an actor, don't worry, Familia, we talk all about X-Men 97. We have an entire section on X-Men 97, but we also dove into his career, his journey. And I just think, man, this guy, I mean, he's pretty incredible. Not only is he incredible, but he's endlessly smiling, optimistic. Yeah. I'm just, from starting off as a tennis player, all the way through to promoting X-Men 97, we cover the entire spectrum of his career, and we are so proud of this interview.
Yeah, I have so much respect for him after this conversation, just because, you know, I really appreciate, like I say in the interview, I really appreciate people who go after what they want and make their dreams come true. And, you know, just getting to the heart of that and hearing, you know, how he made it from Brazil to X-Men 97 is truly an awesome story, and I'm really excited for everybody to get to hear it, because I was excited to hear it. And anytime, you know, when we're in an interview and I'm excited, I know that the Familia is going to just go insane.
Okay, well, stop talking and let's air the interview then.
Let's do it.
I cannot believe we have Guy on the podcast today. Did I tell you, I don't think I told you, when we were at the X-Men 97 premiere, I saw this guy with like the best red jacket. And that's what I wear, a red jacket when I'm auctioneering. I saw him across the room, I clocked him. And when I found out that was our boy Sunspot, I literally fanboyed out on him.
I mean, leave it to Sunspot to have a good jacket. I mean, that's like his whole line in the first episode, isn't it?
Yes! What's up, Guy? Welcome to Power of X-Men.
What's up, guys? This is so awesome. Thanks for having me. Man, this is so true, Flink. It's right about the jacket. Oh, my God. Anyway, I love red, too. It's one of my favorite colors. It's all about, you know, I'm all about fire. So I figured, like, I only had used that jacket once for a premiere of one of my best short films. And like, I had never used it again. And I'm like, I think this will work. So anyway, thanks for saying that. But I'm really excited to be here with you guys. And yes, thanks for having me.
I mean, we're so stoked that Sunspot is even part of the, you know, X-Men 97 experience. So to not only have Sunspot, but to have the voice actor who plays him so perfectly across, you know, the first episode of the season, I couldn't be more stoked to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you, Flink. That means a lot.
Sunspot has literally become my favorite character for X-Men 97. I love the point of view character. It's because, bro, I grew up here in Miami. I went to school. I'm Cuban. I went to school with Cubans, Puerto Ricans, Colombians, Brazilian. And I saw so much of myself at that age in him. I was literally the guy worried about his jacket. And even though I did not have like a business card, I think I gave people like my Friendster account, which would have been different. But I just have to tell you that for a kid who grew up Cuban American down here in Florida, I see so much of what I went through in Sunspot. So thank you for your portrayal.
Thank you, Paul. I mean, you've been so supportive and you're so awesome. And I just really appreciate it. It's a lot to, you know, to receive, but I'm really, really humbled and I'm really, really honored to be able to have this opportunity and, you know, so blissful to be having responses like that. So thank you.
I can't imagine how just insane the last few weeks with X-Men 97, you know, finally hitting after all these years. I imagine it's just been such an exciting time for you.
Very much so, Flink. I'm, you know, really overjoyed with, you know, so much positivity and so much support. Also, you know, yeah, it's overwhelming, but in a very, very incredible way. It's been so special. You know, I'm doing my best to, like, you know, be in touch with everybody, because that means a lot to me, really does. And I think, like, through the last 2 years, like, you know, all the work that I've put into not only my craft, but also, you know, the business side of things, I don't take those moments for granted at all. And I don't take them lightly, you know, people's time and people's excitement, you know, and because I'm also one of them in many other ways. So yeah, it's just really special, and I'm really grateful to be having the opportunity. And so again, beautiful time.
We're thrilled to have you here in the X-Men family with us, and I'm just curious, you know, did you have any experience with X or the original X-Men animated series prior to hopping aboard?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I grew up with, you know, watching them in Brazil. You know, I remember, you know, the small kitchen of my parents' house, apartment. You know, I heard here, you know, so much about, you know, the Saturday morning. I don't know if Brazil had the same, you know, schedule. I don't really remember. Also, it wasn't something like that I, like, it would be like a particular day that I would be waiting for. I think, you know, my childhood in terms of watching things, like, also, like, all over the place, but I definitely watched it so much. And I you know, I can't say it was, like, literally the first, like, superhero exposure I had, but definitely, like, one of the major ones. You know, I actually still have the action figures, and I'm so excited to go back to my, you know, home this year and take them out, because I have saved everything that I have owned as a kid.
Got Sunspot chilling with me.
Oh my god!
Right here.
Sorry.
Yeah, but I have to say, so I was a friend of mine told me he's gonna gift me one, so I'm gonna have one. So I'm excited.
Excellent.
For that.
Well, if he doesn't, you'll have to let us know, because Sunspot needs a Sunspot action figure. Like, absolutely. There's no question about that.
Thank you.
Yeah, we definitely need a Sunspot figure. Marvel Legends, Ryan Ting, hook us up. Please, we would be so happy for it. Wait, I wanted to pull on a thread. So you mentioned watching shows when you were growing up, and, like, cartoons were more over the place. Did you guys not have, like, the Saturday morning cartoon vibe? Is that something that was exclusive just to, like, a US vibe?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. You know, I was also, like, you know, 92. I don't want to say how old I am. You know, how actors were all, like, you know, don't want to say.
Dude,
how
I just turned 40 this year. No shame here.
Oh my god, Paul, you look like you're 32.
Well, I'm 39, so we're all...
Wait, I'm sorry. Well, yeah. If you're not going to say at least look 26, don't even bother. Don't even bother. But I go to the same dermatologist as Famke Johnson, who's Jean Grey in the X-Men movie, so...
Oh my god, that's amazing. There you go. You gotta send me the info. So, you know, I was, you know, 92, I was very, very young. You know, I was like 3 or 4 or something like that. So I don't remember, like, if it was like every Saturday. I it feels to me like, or maybe I started to catch maybe the first, second season a year later, 2 years later, you know what I'm saying? So then it was, like, more, like, consistently shown. I don't know. And I don't even remember which channel they would, because, you know, Brazil has, like, just like we have here, like, CBS, NBC, and but there's, like, bigger networks. Brazil basically, now it's a little bit more of a competitive thing, but especially in the 90s, like, the Globo is the major, you know, network in Brazil. Like, it just dominates everything. And of course we had Cartoon Networks, you know, and Nickelodeon, stuff like that, but I don't know, like, if Globo had the licensing, and that's how I watched it, as I watched so many other things through Globo.
And but definitely like it was Cartoon Networks and that Brazilian network. So yeah, it wasn't like a weekend thing. I just remember it coming through. Or I mean, I guess I did know at one point like the time, but I don't remember.
Over 30 years ago, so fair. Yeah.
That's fair that you did it. All right, so you are. When did you get the script, or when did you hear about X-Men 97 coming down the pipeline?
So the thing is, like, I didn't know it was X-Men. I didn't know it was Marvel, right? Just like with any Marvel project, you never know. Unless, I guess, you're really, like, you know, already, like, a celebrity or whatever, they're offering it to you. But they're so, you know, cautious about that. So I didn't know. And to be very honest, I think I was asked this before. I don't know if you guys were going to ask me this. But I did not really clock. And I honestly, like, you know, didn't grow up with like Sunspot, even like in Brazil, because he was not a part of this. So I didn't really know the character, you know. Obviously with the movies that came out, you know, recently, it's literally like a few years ago that I really, oh my god, there's a Brazilian you know, a superhero, you know, a Marvel superhero. I didn't clock, like, the name was Roberto, but I, you know, it didn't really cross my mind, and it had a different name for the project. So I actually went back to look at my emails, and I auditioned for it twice. So I got it first at the, you know, in the fall of 2021. And then I think it was spring, beginning of spring of 2022. And I got the same audition, but it had a different, I think it had the same name for the project, but it said Elijah. I remember this was like, it was like parenthesis Elijah, right? So they put a different name, but I was, I think it was the exact same sides, if I am not mistaken, because I remember having like, oh, I've already auditioned for this. That's happened a couple of times, not much at all. I was like, oh, okay, here I go. I do it again. And then I found out 2 months later via an email of my agent that I went back to read it exactly what he wrote, and he was like, "Congratulations, Guy, you are going to be a superhero." And I was like, "What do you mean? Like, I you know, because I didn't know it was X-Men, I didn't know it was, you know, like anything like that." So then I went back to, and he didn't even say, I think, oh, no, I don't remember if he said like X-Men or anything like that, but right away. But I went back to look, like, what is it that I don't even remember auditioning for this.
What did I audition for?
Yeah. So you know how it goes. It's like, you don't hear most of the things you audition for, you don't hear back. So you didn't get it. So to me, it's just like, wow. So I was so shocked. I was so like, when really, you know, when I really was like, whoa, this is X-Men. I was like, I was obviously so happy, but I was very, very shocked.
Yeah. I can't imagine excitement or almost the pressure that I would feel if someone told me that I was joining the X-Men world. So much to me and to so many people that I think my head would explode. So congrats to you for keeping it together.
Well, and let me add too, that is like, you know, we couldn't say anything, right? It's been like, so then I'm like, who do I share this with? I was like, actually, I was in New York and I was staying with my friend because I was doing motion capture for a video game that I had been doing, and then I was staying with a friend at a basement, and then I'm like, oh, I can't say anything. What am I gonna do? This is crazy.
We know you have ties with video games, as we'll discuss a little bit more in this interview. But what do you mean motion capturing for games? What does that entail? I'm sorry to segue here.
That's fine. Well, you know, it entails like literally, like, you know, the way they. We've seen online how like they shoot like, oh, they shot Avatar, right, with the suit and the stuff. Like a lot of video games, apparently, you know, they're doing that. So they get actors, you get in the suit, and that's why they look so real. They look like, you know, a movie. You know, it's obviously, but that's literally what it is. You get into the motion capture suit, and then you play a scene.
And they turn out looking completely different in the end.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'm not a gamer. I mean, I'm not a gamer. So actually, yeah, I stopped at Nintendo 64. So it's like, I don't
I'm still going. No.
Whoa.
Gosh, man.
When they stopped going in a straight line, I started struggling. You know, I can't handle these open world video games. I'm too impatient and get confused.
Right, right. Exactly. I mean, I used to be really good, but then like they got so, everything is obviously so real. It's like the even the controller mode is like so many, like it's not simple anymore.
No, it's not at all. So I jumping back to you know, you were familiar with the X-Men, but you were not familiar with Sunspot. What kind of research did you do once you realized who you were going to be playing?
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, right then and there, like, well, I think the email actually, they sent me a link, you know, to the Marvel database that I thought it was like a private thing, but it's not, right? I think anybody can access. So definitely that was, you know, my main guide. I went to the source. And so then I just started reading, right? Went on YouTube, you know, just researched everything that I possibly could. So as I usually do with anything that I have to research, or, you know, just as an actor, I love that process of investigation and learning, right? Like that to me is one of the gifts that we have, you know, as actors of like, but you know, in this world, just to understand like what are his powers and how does he actually belong in this world. So yeah.
I can't imagine. That must be daunting, knowing that there's like hundreds and hundreds of comic book issues out there that you could read and you could research. And was that overwhelming at all?
Yeah, no, yes, absolutely. It was. I mean, the thing is, but in a way, I was, you know, it's also not like Wolverine, right? Like obviously that we know more, but it's a little bit more limiting in that way. But also like what you find, and I think because, you know, he hadn't been as exposed as it's happening now, right? So you don't find as much as obviously, right? So I was able to grasp, you know, the main things that are the growing up and how the powers came about and what happened and how he was introduced to, you know, New Mutants first and all that kind of, you know, stuff.
So when you're doing your research on him and you're kind of getting the scripts in for X-Men 97, what is your impression of Roberto? Like, what were your first thoughts? Like, are you like, I know this kid, or is he so foreign to me? Like, what were your... How did you, what was your first impression for him?
Yeah, no, I definitely didn't go like, oh yeah, I know this guy, like, so, you know, so like close to home, not at all, for many reasons. I think that the thing that I love the most and I think I held on to so much was, you know, the mixture that he has in terms of his growing up, you know, with languages, with culture, right? You know, his father being Brazilian, his mother being American, you know, because my mom is Argentinian, my father is Peruvian. Like this makes, like, really love, like, oh, this is something I totally relate to, right? And then obviously the parts that I had in my growing up, in my teen years of like feeling like an outsider, you know, I really, you know, as an actor, I love the saying that Meryl Streep said, where she goes, you know, I look for the similarities because the differences are so, they're there, right? The script, it's just given to you, but how am I like this person? Like, where can I, relate to? So that's how I started to like focus on, you know, so, and then that was very exciting to me. But obviously then, you know, all the fun facts and you know, the powers and you know, and because like this is wild, because I think it was like a year before, you know, the audition, or, you know, definitely from getting the news, Instagram has this fire filter that I had been using, because I love fire, I love the heat, right? Especially like moving to Los Angeles from New York, you know, I was like, I'm from Brazil, like I love the weather, you know, hot weather, and I had been using it for a while. It's my favorite, and then I was like, oh my god, this is wild to me. It's like, it's almost like I have this story on my Instagram that I saved, because
I had like the filter and I just said whatever I said. And I'm like, you guys are not going to get this reference, but eventually you will. Because I'm like burning in fire. And I'm like, I'm literally on fire. And I don't know. I said, I think because I said, I like to believe that I manifested this for myself.
I was going
to
say, you manifested that for sure.
I 100% agree as well. And if fire's your element, I mean, you found Sunspot. And it's always so funny how stuff like that works. I think we eventually connected at the premiere because you were talking to Kyle Thomas, who's a celebrity astrologer. And he was here like, oh my God, you got me Sunspot. And he would tell you that that was no coincidence, that you found your character, that that was sort of predestined.
Wow. I mean... Yeah, I don't know what to say to that, but I mean, it's just really wild. Yeah.
I mean, listen, I'm not the celebrity astrologer
here.
I just
believe it, and I, you know, I'm yeah, definitely grateful to again to the opportunity, and even like obviously this happened after, but I did not like you know because we were. It takes so long. It was like 2 years of like, you know, and it's not like I'm going to the booth every day, right? Like sometimes like long gaps of things, right? But I knew from before getting into this, but even now, like it was not related to me already, like knowing I'm playing Sunspot, but you know, I started an online company last year and literally, you know, it was based on another like cartoon actually in a way, but that inspired the, because I'm a lover of the phoenix, and so my spirit animal is the phoenix, and my element is fire, and so the logo of my company is literally like a ball of fire, you know, like which I'm wearing here. I mean, it's very dark here. I'm sorry, guys, the light just went off, but anyway, so I was like, you know, it's all kind of like intertwined, and I don't know. I leave that to the universe, but definitely I'm very grateful.
Your mutant destiny, obviously.
Can I ask, when were you able to finally start telling people that you did get this super awesome role? Was it when the casting became public last year? I'm forgetting when. Or were you able to start slowly rolling it out? Because I felt like your casting and some other people was sort of put out there.
You're right. No, look, at that level, it wasn't just, I mean, I held on to it until I guess the week of the premiere, you know, or literally I think after the premiere, because even when I a couple of weeks before, I think that we, you know, the PR team got in touch with us and, you know, my agent and all that, and they were, when they released releasing the trailer, you know, they were like, oh, this is what's approved for you to post, and because of the things that happened, you know, last year with the leaking, right, they were just, I don't know, I was very on the fence. So, you know, in that manner, like publicly outspoken until like it was out, you know, and people were starting to talk more. And then because before then I was like, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. Not to say, you know, my mom, like a couple, like a very selected group of people.
Yeah.
A little bit before I was like, hey, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Knowing that, you know, I can trust those people like with my life. So but yeah, it wasn't until literally the week of that I became more outspoken about it all.
Well, I mean, you got to tell your mom, so come on. Yeah. you can't keep it from mom that you're one of like, the X-Men.
Yeah, you know, my mom obviously knows it, but my mom is, you know, she's funny because, you know, she's I mean, she's still loving. I love my mom. She obviously is my rock, and she's supported me in everything I've ever done. But you know, she's like, oh, this is cool. Yeah. And then like she's just like, you know, it's like she's not into that world. She doesn't know much about it. And it's like, oh, that's great. So, you know, and then it's nothing more than the excitement for me, you know, be doing what I love and having another opportunity, you know. So
I'm just curious. We know that the cast recorded all of the dialogue together. What was that recording process like?
Wait, no, that's well, not.
No,
I mean, I don't know everybody. I for one did not have that experience.
That Disney behind the scenes clip. No,
They lied to us.
Yeah, whoa. But those was not everybody. That's what I'm saying. Not everybody. I know they did a lot, but I, for instance, like, no, I did not get to, really be in the same room. I guess I don't know if there's anything to do with. I mean, it was already post COVID, but yeah, I mean, no, I wasn't in the room with everybody.
Not even with Holly, well, because you and Holly have such great chemistry.
Yeah. I know. I mean, it's kind of wild. I mean, she's amazing. I mean, Holly's amazing. And it's so wild how you know, they were able to make it work. And that's why, like, also, but not only, you know, that, like, the relationship and seeing that, but, like, so many different things, details I noticed when I watched the premiere of the animation, they changed, right? So I was like everybody else. Obviously I knew the story, but I'm like watching it for the first time, because I'm also just like watching the things that I got to see were just my bits, right? Just my bits that then like also changed. So it's very riveting, very exciting to be able to see it for the first time, obviously put it all together. But then like seeing at those scenes and I'm like, oh, wow, I'm hearing Holly had already recorded, is already there. And then I'm responding to it. Great. And then other times, like there was nothing, you know what I'm saying? It was like such a, an interesting process. Yeah.
I mean, it has to be super cool. You know, you're just one piece of the puzzle. So you don't know what the whole picture is going to look like. So that's got to be really cool to sort of be there in the audience watching it, everybody else for the first time.
100%. I was very nervous, and obviously I knew I was in incredible hands, and I trusted all these amazing creators and artists, and I knew that you know, throughout the whole process, you know, they have the vision of the big picture, right? I was very, very excited, but I I'm not gonna lie, like I was very nervous to see how it was all gonna come together. But also for me specifically, because my process of, you know, finding not necessarily the voice, but even the voice in the beginning, but more of like the accent, it was a process. So I was nervous. Yeah.
Well, you certainly pulled it off.
Yeah, you pulled it off. You sound great. The best thing, and I can understand why you would be nervous, Ki, because you are the point of view character. You are the new Jubilee, kind of like walking into this team. And so much of the audience's perception is going to come through you and Sunspot. So it makes total sense. But wait, so if you guys didn't record together, I know Lenore recorded separately. That I knew because she, you know, is in Canada. I'm curious, when did you start meeting the rest of the cast? When did you meet Lenore? When did you meet Jennifer? When did you meet Cal? When did you meet Holly?
Oh, literally at the premiere.
No!
Like, all of you, like,
really?
Yeah.
You and Holly came across like BFFs. Really? Like, I thought you guys were long-term friends, that you guys were in the studio together, that you had been recording, that you had your own inside jokes. Did not know that that was a night you guys were meeting.
Yeah, I think, I mean, she has such a great energy. And I don't know, but in a way, like, because, you know, towards the end, as we start to see picture and all that, like, you know, I'm hearing her voice. I'm getting, you know, all the this relationship. It did feel a little bit like that. I'm like, oh my God, and then it's you, you know, with a little bit of an obviously different voice. But you know, she has such a great energy, and it was so, you know, so wonderful to experience. But everybody, really, like, you know, obviously the OGs, the legends, I was like fanboying too. I had to like control myself, but like with Cal,
I can't imagine.
I'm like, what? Like, this is you right here. This is crazy.
I mean, what is that like? I mean, you're not physically standing shoulder to shoulder recording with them, but you are part of a cast with the same voice actors who voice this show. I mean, what? How does that make you feel? What is that like?
It's Flink is just so special. I'm so honored. I'm really, like, I think the words
as, I don't know, as cliche as that may sound, is so it's as honest as I can be. I'm just so honored. I'm so grateful for this opportunity, for this, you know, be part of something so, you know, special to me growing up, and then to so many people. And I said this to Paul, it was like being there, like that experience when I'm like walking to El Capitan and I'm seeing this line of everybody dressed up, you know, I was like, whoa, I knew this was going to be like a fan screening too, but it's just like, it was really, it's hard to put into words. And then everybody was so loving, everybody's so loving to each other. And it's like, it's a familia of like these, you know, people who love these characters, love the, what the whole show is about. And they, you know, most of you guys know each other from all the, you know, the cons and all the events. And then that was like, so, so amazing, really amazing.
Oh yeah. Well, are going to get to know some of the familiar faces in the X-Men community, especially if you're going to start doing cons. A lot of us pop up everywhere.
You won't be able to get rid of us.
That's it. You're stuck.
I don't want to.
You're stuck with us for the rest of your life. You're going to be like 80 years old and we're still going to come in and we're like, say hi, familia.
Hey. Yeah, well, I'll be relishing that forever for sure. Yeah.
My fireworks pun when talking about Jubilee here, but I do have to ask, obviously, you and Holly, you can just tell from your performances that there's, you know, chemistry there, but is there meant to be a spark between Jubilee and Roberto after this first episode? I there's been some debate
as to whether there's
you know, we're sensing friend, you know, friend zone vibes or like potential flirtation.
Ooh, so I love the debate. I'm going to let you guys have the debate and I'm going to let you guys just like let the, you know, I don't know, the excitement and the anxiety some of you have grow a little bit more until you see it, because yeah, I think it's very exciting and I love that you guys are so invested. But I look, what I'm going to say is that you guys won't be disappointed. That's all I can affirm.
I don't think I could ever. Sunspot is part of the X-Men Animated Universe now. I don't think I could ever be disappointed.
That's so kind. Amazing. But amazing.
Whether it is a platonic or romantic relationship aside, I think one of the clever things that the writing team has done here is that Jubilee is now transitioning from that point of view character to more senior X-Men. And she's looking at Roberto and she sees a lot of herself in him, and we get some of those early homages with the Danger Room that Flink had kind of pointed out, but also his rebellious attitude that Jubilee had, and Jubilee has to now be the bigger, like the big sister vibe, and I think that's just so clever with that. I mean, how is it coming in and being the baby of the team?
No, I agree. I love that, because I think all of us you know, at one point in our lives, you know, one way or another, we go through both phases, right? You know, whichever profession and whatever we do, how, like, you know, when we start to you know, help somebody else to go through something that we've gone through, or if it's professionally, you know, bringing the elevator down, as the expression goes, you know, like I find that fascinating. I love that. And so yeah, I'm okay being the baby. Hey, I am totally fine. I want to be part of it, and just being part of it to me is just like amazing. And that has happened to me, you know, when I used to, you know, play tennis when I started in my teens, you know, in that way, thinking like professionally, then also when I transitioned to acting, it's always been, you know, part of my life. So I just think it mirrors, and I'm super grateful to the universe to grant me another opportunity, you know, to still like be the baby and like get people to like help me out, and you know, I'm totally fine with that. You know, my time, you know, will come later for, you know, being the, you know, the Jubilee of the moment, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have to say, you know, one of my, it was definitely one of the more quiet scenes episode premiere, but one of my favorite scenes in the whole thing was a scene between you and Jubilee that called back to the first episode of the original animated series, where they were having the discussion at Xavier's in the turret. And you know, in the original, it was Storm of introducing Jubilee and like guiding, you know, her setting the expectations, and now it's Jubilee doing that for your character. And I just thought that it was like I said, it was one of the more quiet scenes in the episodes, but I still thought it was super impactful. And like it's an important scene for like people who are coming in new, you know, and that's what I really appreciate. It's like, yeah, there's all these you know, homages to the original show, the parallels between Jubilee and Sunspot, but it makes it to where, you know, somebody doesn't have to go back and watch all 100 episodes of the original series. You know, my nephews can tune in and they can pick what's going on, and they have. And Sunspot is my 14-year-old nephew's favorite. He, I believe he said he has swag, which I, as far as I know, that is a compliment.
Thank you. Thanks to your nephew. What's his name?
Liam.
Liam, thank you so much. Please let him know. This is amazing.
I will.
I appreciate you, and thank you so much. I love the word. I'm gonna start using that. I have, he has swagger. That I like that. I like that.
Definitely. So while, you know, Sunspot is a new character in the world of X-Men animation, he has popped up in a few of the Fox X-Men films. Specifically, he was a minor character in Days of Future Past in the scene set in the future. And then he was, of course, part of the core New Mutants team in that film a couple of years back. Did you see I were those either of those films part of your research?
Yeah, absolutely. I did. And I mean, and that's one, like, and I also, I mean, those scenes are all on YouTube, so I really went back specifically just for those moments a few times. There's great compilations of them, yeah, I certainly did.
Did you pull from either of those performances at all, or you just really wanted to make it your own? Because I'm not seeing a whole lot of parallels, but I'm just curious if you let it sink in a little.
Yeah, I mean, not really. I think every actor will say, actually, some might actually choose not to go, and I think this is a little bit different. Like if it was, yeah, I mean, if like for instance, I did not go to the cartoon to see, like so if it was like the live action, maybe I wouldn't have gone back to see, the live action version of that they did, because we're all trying to create something anew and our version of it, right? But I was more interested in just, seeing how they, the movie was, creating those scenes, and mostly, about their powers, not necessarily, and the story and everything is so different. So yeah, I was just really curious. And I was, obviously super, happy that, it was, the last one that they had in a live action is a Brazilian, actor as well, who I didn't really get to meet, Henry, but I saw him at an event, a Brazilian event, a year ago. And so, yeah, it's cool,
Man, the universe would collide if both of you were in the same space together.
Seriously, two sunspots, my God.
We should mention though that Encanto, who played Sunspot in Days of Future Past, unfortunately did pass away not too long ago.
This January. Very, very, very sad.
And he did a phenomenal job with the character, and we enjoyed him quite a bit. But you mentioned Henry, and I wanted to ask, and seeing him at a Brazilian actor event, what is the importance of having a character like Sunspot out there, especially on a cartoon, who's Brazilian, who has that identity there? As a Brazilian actor yourself, like how important do you think it is having him out there?
Wow, I think, I mean, I think it's huge. Again, like not really being so surreal and not really understanding the magnitude of this in a very like conscious way in the beginning. It's kind of like sinking in now. Obviously from the get, I knew what a responsibility it was, and again, like an honor. But yeah, I think like Brazil, in Hollywood, in terms of actors
been growing a lot, you know, in the last 10 years. You know, we have incredible actors, incredible artists, and they've, you know, been able to, like, you know, cross over like so many other, you know, I don't know, like, I think there's obviously more like Spanish actors from Spain, right, that have crossed, and then Mexico and stuff. And so to me, it's, I think, like, you know, the first one was like even back in the day, you know, Sonia Braga. But I think, like, from my generation, Rodrigo Santoro, who really started doing, you know, bigger roles. And then, like, lately, obviously, our great, great, great Wagner Moura. Well, you know, I'm big fans of both of them. But, you know, just been, like, lately so many other young, you know, younger actors that I didn't even know. And then they having their opportunity that, you know, I guess, like, Henry, I think, like, he... like, she grew up here or like did high school here or something like that. So that to me is, it's very exciting. They didn't have to be like those other guys, stars in Brazil, you know, to really, you know, make their, you know, put their print on, you know, in Hollywood and movies and stuff like that, to continue to open up, the space for the Brazilian culture, you know? So,
yeah.
Now, like, I feel like, wow, with the way this is, you know, going around the globe, I mean, it's incredible. I think it's only gonna open more and more opportunities, you know, and doors. So I'm very excited to, again, just to be a part of it and help continue to, like, have that influence.
I have to tell you, when we did our event down here in South Florida, and you sent the video for our screening, everyone in the crowd just erupted, plotting, saying how important it was to have you here. I mean, the character matters so much, especially for those of us here in South Florida, just to reiterate that point.
Thank you so much, Paul. That wow. Yeah, I mean, look, and I, after my first year in the States, like, I lived in Florida, right? I lived in Fort Lauderdale, then, like, North Miami, and my major beginning, like, acting training is all from South Florida, you know.
Oh, really? So,
yeah,
that's fun, man. We're definitely a unique breed down here. I'm born and raised here in Miami, and then we moved to New York 20 years ago, and now we have two places. But South Florida is definitely a very unique spot in the world to learn. Yes. Anything. I've been doing a couple auctions down here this month, and they're very different than New York, LA, Boston.
Oh, yeah. Is. Oh, yeah.
Florida people, we don't care here, man. It is anarchy. I'm, like, calling out bids the other night at an event, and this one guy's like, no, I'm not going to do it for $500, but I'll do it for $10,000. I'm like, okay, fine. We'll open up the bidding right there at $10,000 right here. It's just, so I can't imagine even, like, acting and learning all that down here. It definitely is a proper breeding ground for that talent and for that art.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
To sort of close out our X-Men 97 and Sunspot focused portion of the episode, I thought it would be fun to play a little game, since Sunspot is a bit of a fashionista as a character from the 80s and the 90s. He's had some pretty interesting looks in the comic books. So since X-Men 97 is picking up that thread, I thought it would be fun to play a little game we call Toot or Boot. So essentially what's going to happen is we're going to show you a picture of one of Sun's famous costumes. And if you like it, you can give it a toot. If you don't like it, you can give it a boot. And if you think it's just the coolest thing you've ever seen, you can even give it a shoot. But reserve that for something you think is just the coolest thing you've ever seen. So,
toot is if I like it. Boot
toot is... Yeah, toot, like, toot your horn if you like it. Toot, toot, toot. And then if you don't like it, we'll give it the boot.
Boot.
If it's just the greatest, we'll shoot it to the moon. Sound good?
Yes.
All right, yep. Here's our first one.
So this is his New Mutants costume, his very first look. What do you think?
Boot.
I agree. He's too individual for this generic X-Men team look. Totally agree.
I agree. I was listening to a podcast where they talked about the importance of the New Mutants having that generic uniform because it signified they were a team. But I agree. Listen, I'm not going to die on this hill, but I agree. I mean, for Roberto, this is too basic for him. Too basic.
Okay, so this is the New Mutants graduation uniform. So when they, you know, quote unquote, graduated, they got to design their own looks. So this is the costume that Roberto picked for himself.
Well, he graduated in terms of muscle making too, right?
That's that Rob Liefeld effect.
Oh my God. Well, I'll go with a two. I like it.
Yeah, that's like a classic. It's a classic. Yeah.
It's a classic. I like it quite a bit.
All right. So, well, number three, this is probably his most popular look. This was what he was wearing when he was a part of X-Force in the early 90s. It's right. The one on the action figures, on all the 90s trading cards.
Right. Yeah. I mean, see, but it's hard because I don't know what's going to come next. So I love this. It's definitely a toot, but I don't know if I can, you know, already go with a shoot. But yeah, toot for sure. I mean, because I love red and I love those colors, but I just think, I don't know, it's just like so dynamic and I like the combination of the colors and yeah, I like it a lot.
It's that big yellow stupid collar for me. Mm. Like, I don't know what purpose that serves, but yeah. that is fashion as far as I'm concerned.
And, yeah, and sure. you don't have to say anything, but we have seen images of Sunspot's character design. One of it looks like when he's powered up and he has a bandana similar to this. So we're just saying we love the bandana with like the in the back.
The bandana
or the eye mask, however we call it. But
yeah. Right.
Okay. So whoa. This one's a little controversial. Some people would argue that this isn't even Sunspot, but he lost his mind a little bit and became not just a villain, but a villain leader of his own team called the Mutant Liberation Front. And this is he changed his code name to Rainfire, and I got Cher's wig and here a cape, and here he is, toot or boot.
Yeah, toot for me. I mean, it's like it might fit, you know, that dark side of him, but I don't love it.
Yeah, we can only hope that we get Rainfire in season two.
Well, this is Sunspot's own Dark Phoenix saga, essentially, right here. This is epic. Right. We need it in 97. We need it in the movies too.
I told you, I love the Phoenix, but it's like I think it can be better.
All right, so it's a boot. It's a boot then.
Yeah.
Oh, he said it was a two.
No, I said it was a boot. Oh, did I say it?
Oh, I thought you said okay. Yeah, no, I'm actually must have lagged on that one. Okay, I'm a big fan.
This is my big fan moment, though. I love this X-Force outfit. He wore it in the mid-90s during Onslaught. This, to me, I love this outfit so much. But
I don't want to sway the vote.
Yeah, I don't want to sway the vote either here. But, I mean, it's pretty awesome.
It's my favorite, too.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but I like it a lot, too. So it's a toot. I think, like, I mean, also because, I don't know, the way that, like, the design is like I really like all about it, but you know, I see like the details you know, on his like knee, whatever that is, and the, you know, boot or whatever. I don't know, I like it, you know. Everything feels like so like out there, you know, and powerful. It feels powerful.
It's okay. Got that mid 90s style to it. Like there's no need for him to be this accessorized as a superhero, but he showed up accessorized to the hilt, and yes. We love it. I love this look.
He hired a stylist for this one, and we're very happy.
So this one is from the early 2000s. They put all of, you know, after the first X-Men movies, they're like, oh, we gotta put the comics in black leather to match. So they all sort of got this standard team look. I actually don't remember what issue this is even from, because he wasn't around too much at that point.
It was Extreme X-Men.
Yes. This is his early 2000s leather look.
Yeah, look, and I love leather. I love that, you know, vibe and all that. But I think, like, again, in this succession of what we've been, you know, seeing here, I'll say boot, because it just feels that, yeah, I mean, look, I like it, but it just feels a little bit like, you know, the Maverick version.
I love this look on, like, Cyclops or Jean Grey or Wolverine, or like the main X-Men
Wolverine
team,
yeah
was all wearing those at that point. It just, but I agree, it's not right for Roberto. He would not want to wear something to fit in. He would want to wear something to stand out. I agree, it's not right for him.
Yeah,
100%. This is an equivalent to his New Mutants look, which, by the way, they even drew him the same for it.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, what's your shoot then? Now
if you have to give a shoot.
That one. And I wanted to say right away, but I didn't know what else
this
was
one?
Coming. But yeah. No, the other one.
Oh, this one. Yeah, 100%.
Yes, okay, definitely. You know what?
Bravo right there. That is the right
This
answer.
Is the one that was on. That was the one that was on all the action figures and trading cards. So, like, it might not be my ultimate favorite, but it's one that definitely inspires the most nostalgia.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate you humoring me and my little
no, this was
game.
Fun.
Thank
was
you very
nervous,
much, Guy.
This was fun.
Okay, Guy, can we dive into some background on you? Because here at Power of X-Men, we love having our geeky conversations. We love talking about, you know, how you came to the X-Men and how you came to portray your character, but we really like to dive into the actual person behind the voice. And I'm curious, you know, you're growing up in Brazil. You haven't made it to South Florida yet. I'm curious, when did you realize you wanted to be an actor? When did that, like, acting thespian bug sort of bite you?
Right. So I used to play tennis, and that was my dream, you know, growing up, be a professional tennis player. So I traveled South America a lot. I mean, even like Europe and all that, like playing tournaments. And after I graduated high school, I went to play some professional tournaments in Venezuela. And there I met my coach, who became like a second dad to me, who changed my life. And there I decided that, you know, I was going to go attend a university in the United States with a scholarship, right? And so the very last few months, I mean, the last 6 months that I was in Venezuela, in Caracas, you know, the capital of the country, I started modeling. And, you know, I was like, I started to book these things that just like my very first audition ever for a print campaign. I booked it, and, you know, and I have never like really worked, because I was just playing tennis, you know, and trying to ascend and all that. And so I had never like, you know, like really, oh, wow, we're going to pay you to do this, you know? And so I started to do that, and started modeling a little bit. And then I had I tell this story because I think it's funny, but I went to my first commercial audition for a Subway commercial. And
I love Subway.
Right. It's like, you know, the fast food and like the sandwiches. And I'm like, so I had to act. I had to, like, you know, improvise. And I still remember, like, vividly, it was like this line of people. And I don't know if that's still like how all the auditions are in Venezuela, but like, you don't go in the room by yourself. You just like, everybody's watching everybody. You have a line of people and just like whatever. And so I had to do this audition to improvise. It was awful. I was horrible. It was, you know, it was a very bad experience. So I get in the car and I call my agent, and I'm like, hey, for me to be able to book these jobs, which paid more, I need like an acting class or something. Like, do you have anybody to recommend me? And because like, I was so into like technique. I mean, that's what, you know, this coach is so brilliant at. Yeah. I was like, hey, just like, you know, get me somebody who like I can learn this like simple technique or something fast that I can, you know, so I can do it. So she recommends me to this teacher who had studied at the Actor's Studio and only really like worked with professional actors, you know, very theater based. I audit the class and I'm like fascinated about these actors emoting. The thing was so real. I grew up with like psychology of sport. You know, I had a therapist growing up and all that stuff. So I really loved everything about psychology, and I related to that. You know, in that class, it's just like, wow, this is so intense, it's so deep. And so I was fascinated, and I wanted to study with her because I thought, like, actually, I think at that moment it was not even about like the commercials anymore. I was just like, this is so amazing. And so she didn't want to let me study, actually, because I was very upfront with her. I was like, hey, I'm a tennis, you know, player. I'm leaving in 2 months, I think 3 months, but I love this. And she's like, oh, I only work with professional actors. So I begged her. I was like, I am so like disciplined. You tell me whatever I need to do, I will do. You tell me the dates, like. And she let me. And so I read my first Shakespeare play. You know, I'm a big Shakespeare lover. You know, Romeo and Juliet, like, because growing up in Brazil, like, it's a little different. We don't have, like, you guys have, like, English courses here, and you study a lot of, like, Shakespeare, you read these things. Like, in Brazil, not really. You know, not a lot of art, at least for me, where, you know, the way my upbringing was. So I think I read it for the first time in Spanish. Well, for those who don't know, like, I speak fluently Spanish as I do Portuguese. My mom is Argentinian, my father was Peruvian, and so especially living there, like, I became very, very fluent in Spanish. And so yeah, so that's where it really started, like that class and me joining that class. It was like so exciting, it was so scary. It took me, I don't know, like maybe a month or two for me to be able to do anything in the class because I was so terrified. You know, I started with a little exercise, and one thing was leading to the other. You know, I was very fortunate to you know, meet this actor who was very well known in the country, and he took me under his wings, and he took me to another academy or studio, and I started studying there too. So I was at two places the last 2 months, and so that's really where it all began. And when I got to the United States, I was majoring in business because I didn't know what I was going to do. And I remember before I left Venezuela, I remember like contemplating and reflecting, you know, this actor was very encouraging of me. And he was very like, I don't know, like he said so many wild things to me coming from somebody like in a positive way, like encouraging me to pursue this or that I had something. And I'm, you know, this person had like 30 years of career, had done so many big things. So I was like, oh my God, maybe there's something there for me. And then I get to the university, it's called Lander University in South Carolina, in a town called Greenwood. And I'm like, do they have a theater department? And they did. And I was like, I remember my first day, I saw the theater. It was a huge, beautiful theater. And I had this thought, I'm like, my God, imagine if I could, because I had never been in a play. Like I had done like 2-3 months of classes. I mean, I had done some scenes, but you know, not much, right? And I'm like, Imagine me being here. And then for me to be able to take the acting class, I had to at least minor in theater. I'm like, great, I'll minor in theater too. So I did that and I started taking the classes, and, you know, I think I arrived in Greenwood at like end of August. And I think a few weeks later they were having auditions for Picnic, which is a play by William Inges. It was turned into a movie in 1950s with William Holden. And I can't even remember who was in class, but if it wasn't, I didn't know what an audition was. I had never heard that word. And mind you, like, you know, I spoke English, but, you know, it's like a lot of words I didn't understand.
Yeah,
I
was and not auditions are very different from where you're coming from. Again, it's like a line, like an assembly line. They're like, OK, thank you. Next. It's not the U.S. idea of auditions.
Yeah, no. So I had no clue. And I forget, like somebody was like, it was on a Saturday or Sunday. I was like, oh, what are you doing? He's like, yeah, we're going to this audition. You should come, because I think it was somebody from my class. I was like, oh, OK, I'll go. And if it wasn't for that, like, because I think it wasn't a requirement from you know, the class or the teacher. Anyway, I went, and all of a sudden I see these, you know, they're handing like sides and these people are reading in the hallway. I'm like so confused. And they give me something. I start reading half of the words. I didn't understand what they meant because, you know, it's like, I think they were all sides from Picnic, but it was like, you know, very elevated kind of language and very unfamiliar with for me at the time. So I go and I do a scene. I start reading. Everybody's reading the cold reading and stuff. And I don't know. Like, I don't know what I did, but I got cast as the lead in the show.
Wow. Attaboy. The lead.
The lead. His name is Hal. That's the character's name, Hal, played by William Holden in the movie. And that was Monique, my teacher, Monique Bagwell is her last name, which I'm in contact with now. I'm really looking for, I hope that this year we can make it work because I really want to go back to Lander. I haven't been since I left, and I, you know, we're trying to figure out how I can, you know, come and be a part of the, you know, somehow the film festival they're doing now. They have a film department, you know, and I am so looking forward to be able to do that. Like talking about, see, like give back or, you know, encourage other people. But yeah, I mean, she cast me in my first thing ever. And a few couple months later, I'm like, you know, on stage of that theater that I walked into, and I had imagined, I remember having like, oh my God, one day I would love to be here and doing that. But I thought I was going to be there for 4 years, you know. I was like, eventually at one point, and then it literally happened a month and a half later. So wow. Yeah, I mean, it's a much longer story. I'm sorry.
Don't apologize.
That's
great.
Yeah, we love it. We love it.
That's how it all came about. Yeah. You know?
I just Googled William Holden really quickly, and much like Roberto, he has swag. So there is a common denominator. It's the kind of characters you gravitate towards.
That's funny.
It seems like, so you've been on quite a journey at this point. It seems like from Brazil to Venezuela to South Carolina. We know you ended up in Miami. What was it like when you finally got to Hollywood? What was the motivating force to get you there? And what was it like when you arrived?
Ooh, okay. I'm not going to extend myself so much, but so when I was in Miami, which was right after South Carolina, literally a year after, you know, I wanted to do movies. I wanted to be in movies. I grew up watching movies with my dad. And I loved movies. Right. And so, though my beginning training was all theater in Miami, I started to like focus so much more in film and TV. So I was like, I want to move to Los Angeles. My goal was like, I want to go to Los Angeles, Hollywood movies and all that kind of stuff. But then life went in a very different way. I went to New York. I attended an acting conservatory there. I'm very grateful. I think it was like, again, I don't know if, you know, the world or our lives, the universe sometimes work in ways we don't understand at the moment. And then we look back and we're so grateful for it. But like, it was the greatest, hardest, but also greatest experiences of my life. And I'm so grateful. But then I was in New York and I stayed there until the pandemic. And then pandemic happened. My life changed. A lot of unfortunate events and very sad, very hard for me, for my family. I mean, obviously, you know, all of us with the pandemic. But yeah, it really was a transformative moment. Yeah. That I went through a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. And so I went back in 2020 I was in Brazil during the pandemic. And then in the fall, I'm like, well, this is it. I've always wanted to be in LA. Everything stopped. Nothing's holding me back. And, you know, through the transformative moments I was going through, the main driving force that I carry until now, that is, we've all heard, but, you know, really, I was, you know, really holding on to, because I believe it so deeply now. It's like, we gotta follow our heart and the little voice that we hear, you know, in our mind, in our heart, like that, you know, intuition, all these things. And I'm like, I've always wanted to be in LA, and this is it. This is the time. And then I moved and I went. And funny enough, in 2018, I I wasn't in the competition of Cannes, the film festival, but I had a short film in the film corner. So I got to go and you get to experience the whole festival. And there was a Q&A with Gary Oldman. And I mustered up some courage and I asked Gary Oldman about Coach, if he ever worked with a coach. Because my very first American workshop was with Aaron Spizer, who had coached at the time every single movie of Will Smith, a lot of Gerard Butler movies, J-Lo. So that was my first, apart from, you know, studying at Lander, but like a workshop with a professional like coach like that, it was him, right? And so I'm like, oh, everybody has coaches. And I come from tennis and sports and stuff like that. So I forget exactly why, but I was curious to know. And so I asked Gary and he was like, before he tells me his answer, he's like, well, where do you live? And I was like, I'm in New York. He pauses and he's like, you live in LA one day. And then I was like, oh my God. He was like, yes. And funny enough, a couple of years later, I'm there living in LA. And, you know, that's where I always wanted to be. But then also funny enough, so ironic life, like literally a few months later, I go back to New York to work on this HBO show that was a highlight of my career, an incredible experience. And I was back in New York for a year, working with Theo James and Rose Leslie and the incredible legend director, David Nutter. So, you know, but that's really what took me to LA, and I love LA, and now I'm there, and it's like I keep coming back to New York, which I'm very grateful for as well. But yeah, that's the journey.
I want to pull on a couple threads there, because there was something about experiencing the pandemic in New York that was just really transformative for a lot of us, because the city just shut down. I mean, I'm in Hoboken and I'm right there on the main street, and what was always bumper to bumper traffic with people everywhere, it was dead. And we had a view of the city and there was no cars, nothing. And me and my husband, we also, you know, had those kinds of shifts as well. I think it puts you on a certain path, you know, and I think when I look at it now with the gift of retrospection, because it was so hard. We had so much death in the pandemic in New York. I mean, the Hertz across the street from us, they were leasing out the cars to transport bodies. That initial on like March 2020, April 2020, we thought New York wasn't coming back. So a lot of us, you know, we stuck it through or we left. We came to Florida for a couple months. But I think now you see how those paths kind of put you on where you're at today. And and I'm curious, you know, so you make it to LA, and obviously it worked out for you because here we are. And I know you mentioned you went back to New York because you were doing Time Traveler's Wife. And with Theo James, who also may be your contemporary for X-Men 97. We know he's coming. We just don't know who he's playing.
Right. We don't know anything else.
I don't know either. And when I got the news, I was like, I can't believe it.
I was almost going to say, did you bring him with you?
I was like, I, you know, he hasn't responded, but I messaged him like, yo, are you like following my, you know, I was like, are you following me? Like, are you following my footsteps? Oh my God. It was just too funny. I'm so excited to know who's voicing, if this is coming in the first season. I know nothing, but like, wow. Yeah.
Oh, wait, I'm so sorry. You know, it's funny. So I'm a big fan of The Time Traveler's Wife. I love the book so much. I saw the movie, wasn't the biggest fan of the movie, but I knew you played Henry's body double. I didn't know Theo James played Henry until right now when I pulled it up. So you literally played Theo James's body double, and now you guys are co-stars in X-Men 97. What was that like, playing the body double?
It's wild.
Because he's naked a lot in the book.
Yeah, no, I mean, the series is very naked, all the time. Yeah, so I was in his body double, I was his acting double. And the difference is like, I was doing all the scenes, and that there were two of them, right? So he could talk to somebody. So it was literally like, you know, one day I would do the version as a 28-year-old and he does the 42, and then we swap the next day, right? So then in editing, so, but, you know, because he had like his body double, his stunt double and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, I had occasions that I was there in case like it was needed and stuff, but no, he did all of, you know, apart from the actual stunts. I mean, that's all Theo James. I mean, people have been, you know, asking me like, is this your butt? Is this like, no, this is all Theo James. I don't, you know, mine is not there. Maybe it's parts of my shoulder in certain scenes. Yes. But
that's maybe it's about a shoulder, it. But not the butts.
Yeah.
So then I'm curious, because you have a really interesting journey here, and I'm sorry, I wasn't prepared to understand the scope of your talents here, where you started off as a tennis player and then you were doing motion capturing to, you know, stepping in for scenes with Time Traveler's Wife. How do you eventually then land on an A-list Marvel property voice acting the main character, the point of view character? How did you get to that journey then as a voice actor?
I mean, yeah, it's pretty wild. I mean, I think with everything, you know, since the story I told you about, like how I fell into acting in a way, I think like my journey has been just like, in a way, like going with the flow. And Roberto says, right, to Jubilee, viva and deixe vivir, which is like, now I'm like, which means let and let live, let, right, just like you go with the flow. There's like, and I don't know, like, well, the main reason and how it actually happened was in New York. You know, I am represented by a very, you know, good, strong agency for voiceovers, and because I speak Spanish as fluently as Portuguese, but mostly like the Spanish, right? There's not a lot of Portuguese stuff. But so, you know, I auditioned a lot. I did several like campaigns in voiceover. You know, I guess the biggest one voice wise was at Toyota that I did. I did a campaign for a year or so in New York. And so when I moved to LA, even though my contract was across the board, you know, the agents in LA and the agency in LA had to like want to work with me. And so, thankfully they did. So I made the transition. And then, you know, things with the pandemic change in terms of like, you need to have, you know, source connect, like everybody has to have source connect. So, and I did like used to audition for animation a lot, but I think LA has I don't know if there's just a stronger department. They have much more. But I actually remember that in 2020, during the, you know, like I was in LA for 2 months and staying with a friend, and I did my first animation course, like just like, oh, you know, because my friend was friends with these ladies who run like courses and stuff like that, and I was like, oh, let me do that, because I had only done a couple of voice classes for like mostly commercials and stuff like that. So that was the only one that I did, and it was fun, it was interesting. And, you know, they had so much experience, and also I remember the younger teacher, you know, she was a voice for Disney characters and stuff like that. So I got a little bit of that. But then I just like started auditioning. And I think it was mostly after I got back to town in 2022 after Time Travelers, not so much while I was in New York in 2021. So then like I started auditioning for animation because of the LA department. Of CSD, you know, who represents me for that. So that's literally how it happened.
I'm really not surprised that you're finding all of this success now, because it just sounds like anything that you're interested in or curious about, you just throw yourself into wholeheartedly. You're like, oh, this animation, talk to somebody, let me get some experience with this. I mean, It doesn't, you know, obviously luck is part of it, but it sounds like your work ethic and your curiosity have really driven you to the in your career, and kudos for that, because a lot of people, they don't have that ability to make it happen for themselves. So I think it's really incredible just to hear you talk about all of the things that you've done and all of the situations that you have willfully thrown yourself into, and now you're seeing a return on those investments. And I'm always happy to hear curious, hardworking people find success. So good job. Congratulations.
Thank you, Frank. That really means a lot, because I really believe so much in that. And I think that if there's one strength that I have is to do that, is to the things that I'm passionate about, what I, you know, want to do, I really, really just commit, you know, 1000%. And there's only been two things, tennis and acting. There's, you know, so when people have asked me, like, you know, have you ever thought of quitting and this and that? I'm like, not really. It's just like with tennis is a different situation. There's so many other variants with sport, right? There's like, you can't just be doing it. Like, you either good at a certain point, or depending on the sport, like you have, you know, otherwise you don't make a living. But so, yeah. And so thanks for saying that. But I do always my best as much as I possibly can.
Yeah, no, and stay curious is something that I have always, you know, lived by. So, and it seems to be working for you, and it's working for me too. So everybody
there
out there,
you go. Yes.
Stay curious.
Everybody out there, curiosity is very important. Yeah.
Curiosity did not kill the cat.
No.
Yes.
There you go.
So I do want to circle back. I didn't ask at the time, but when you were doing motion capture for video games, what video games are you doing motion capture for?
So, well, the one that I can say, because it's, you know, my IMDb and it's out, and it's been literally the one that I started with, and the one that I really did the most was Red Dead Redemption 2.
Okay.
That was my entry to that world. Also, not like I always say, like I've been always going through the back door. I started as, I think it was cast, I auditioned for it to be, I don't know exactly why, to be Javier's character, played by my good friend Gabriel Sloyer, double. I think there was a scene, I don't know, I can't remember, but I had to like mimic his way of moving and all this stuff, and that was my entry point. And after that, I just kept being called back to do other kinds of things, you know, different characters, be part of different scenes, and that's how he went. And it's super fun, you know, it's super wild. And then, like, also when it got released, you know, because we couldn't say anything, and then after it was released and the boom that it had, I was like, oh wow, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't really have a character in it, but like all the people that I worked with, and it was wild. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm so fascinated.
On your IMDb, you do have Grand Theft Auto. And I have to ask, because the new Grand Theft Auto is all about Vice City, and it's obviously a stand-in for Miami. Are you returning as what you were doing before, giving some voice work? I don't know if you were doing motion capturing. We're not going to try to get you in trouble on that. But are you going to be involved in some way with the new Grand Theft Auto?
No, I actually, not really.
That's it. You're done. We don't want you anymore. That's the only reason we had you on
speak
here.
Speak for yourself.
To get some info on Grand Theft Auto 6. Oh, man. That would have been awesome. But you worked on the series. You've worked on the franchise.
Yeah. I was, you know, and even like, to be very, like, I didn't even know what he was. Like, again, they're so like secretive about things, and again, because I don't have like I didn't have a major character per se, right? So it's just like I don't even know. I don't know what, you know, because that I don't know if it's for Red Dead. You know, it's already out. Like, I keep like, you know, I don't even like I just show up. So yeah, when I saw like
you just show up and do your job.
Yeah, I do my job. Yeah, and then like it's there. My IMDb is like, whoa, this is wild.
So, I mean, looking at your IMDb, you do have some varied experiences, and just talking to you, you have wildly varied experiences. And I'm just curious, how does it feel working on a Marvel project, and how does that experience differ from all of your other experiences?
I mean, again, like number one is just like so exciting. It's so wonderful, so surreal still. Now that it's out, you know, and all this attention that we're getting and all the feedback. But the experiences are very different also, because like in the animation voice work, I mean, this is the biggest thing that I've done. And so, you know, the journey of recording everything, of being part of it from the start, like, it was very new to me, you know? Yeah. And so I obviously learned a lot. I had done
I think before I got cast, I think I'd already done. I'm in two episodes of Spidey and His Amazing Friends as a surfer dude. Which I grew up surfing. I'm not a great surfer, but I love surfing, and I grew up surfing in Brazil a little bit. So that was so much fun, you know, to have because I was saying, like, oh, this is, you know, the first original, because I've done dubbing and stuff like that as the original voice, but I did do the original voice of this surfer dude in Spidey. But other than that, you know, which was very short, just, you know, short appearance in these two episodes. But yeah, I mean, it was just very, very new and very exciting. And again, just very wonderful to work with, you know, the whole team. And I have to say, I think the most special moment, though, still, like, you know, in the voice work, but like getting there the first day, you know, seeing, you know, the whole Marvel team and all the creators, and then like hearing, like, you know, this is your character, you know, we are here to support you. It was such a wonderful moment that I'm so humbled by, because, you know, I'm so passionate about this art form, and I've, you know, put in so much work, and I've been telling myself, you know, my time is, I mean, I can't wait for the moment to have, you know, that, you know, my character, you know, at that level, right? Because then again, you know, the other experiences, especially, you know, in the TV world, you know, with the time traveler's wife, it's like, you know, I'm not really in it, right? It was an incredible experience and all that, but I was like, this is not my character, you know, I don't have a character in the show. So yeah, it's very special, very special.
Well, I'm curious, because it is very special, but you've also gone on this amazing journey from auditioning for a Subway commercial to hoping that you were going to get this role in a play in college to moving to New York. The pandemic hits you. I mean, life is really happening to you. You're really hustling. You go on this audition. You don't know what it is for. What was it, Elijah? That was what the project was called. And then you get an email saying, guess what? You're a superhero. And then one day you wake up and all of a sudden your name is out there. You're thrusted into X-Men lore. And you're not only representing X-Men lore, but also representation on the internet and all these conversations happening. I mean, that has to be like kind of very absurd to wake up to one day with that kind of journey.
Well, the way you just put it now, Paul, I never reflected on it that way.
Sorry, yeah, no, but that is a journey, man. That's truly like Hollywood, like modern Hollywood, like, you made it, kid, you know what I mean, kind of deal. when you're trending and all this stuff, and like, it is, you really are a wonderful success story.
Thank you, Paul. Yeah. I know. I think, like, you know, for me, it's almost like a little bit in the tennis analogy, you know, with one of the greatest, you know, Mr. Rafael Nadal, that he's like, it's all about one point. It's about this point, right? About talking about the moment, right? He's like, yeah, it's one point at a time. And so, of course, I, you know, and I love, like, Steve Jobs said this in his commencement speech, that you can only connect the dots looking backwards, right? So I love that it's always stayed with me, and I do look and I see these connecting things, you know, this year so much with tennis, like, tennis is giving me everything, like, so many important moments. But you know, I it's so brief, like, I had never put it like the way you did, and again, I appreciated it. It's like, it's so kind of you to say that, but, you know, I'm always doing my best to you know, I've trained myself to really believe in living in the moment as much as we can, as like, going after the thing that I want that's over there. You know, I don't have a problem with that, as I think, like, we have to dream, we have to believe, yeah, and, you know, in that we want that's out there. And then at the same time, we have to be very present and do the best that we can today, right? Because, like, with anything, the actions, I love this saying too, you know, the quality of our choices and of our actions will determine the quality of our life.
Cool. So, you know, obviously we have 8 episodes left of X-Men 97, which of course we are all looking forward to, but I'm curious if you have any other upcoming projects you would like to tease.
Yeah, I actually do. This is exciting. And I just learned
like a couple of days ago that I was I had the dates wrong, but I have an episode coming up in the new CBS show Elsbeth that I was a part of. I filmed here in New York last month, and you know, because they only showed the pilot, and now next week they start showing a second episode and so forth. I thought that my episode was going to air this week. I'm on the fifth episode, but so now it's going to be the end of April. I think it's April 25th, the fifth episode of Elsbeth. Yeah, I'm really excited. It's another dream come true. I mean, I don't even know if I can say this, but I guess it's fine. You know, I think it's fine, but the only thing I'll be able to share is that I play a professional tennis player. So
all right,
you can only imagine how like this year has been for me in terms of like full circle in this wild universe I'm so grateful for. But yeah, it was a dream come true, and I had a wonderful experience. And yeah, it's coming up in a few weeks.
Okay,
well, wow, you heard it, listeners. April 25th, Elsbeth on CBS. Sunspot's making a cameo appearance as a tennis player.
We are so excited for that. The familia at home is definitely going to be tuning in on that. But speaking of the familia at home, Guy, we told people on the Instagram that we were going to have you on, and we said we'll solicit a few questions, and we got in a lot of questions. So apologies to the familia. We had to sort of trim them down a little bit, but are you ready to hear some fan questions that the familia has for you?
Yes, please. That's so wonderful. And thank you guys for doing that. And everybody who, like, you know, sent their questions, I really appreciate it. Let's do it.
Okay. Well, this first one is kind of a heavy one, but I thought it was like a really interesting one because we've been talking about your career and we wanted to make this interview more than just about X-Men. But one of our familia sent in this question, which is, do you think Hollywood can sometimes be cruel to talent? That's like a heavy question. Whoever sent in this question needs to come on the podcast and be our Barbara Walters.
No, I mean, I think so. Absolutely. You know, it can be cruel in many ways. And I think most of us have experienced it in one way or another. You know, in the last few years with all the changes in not only in Hollywood, but in the world, you know, I think things are, you know, slowly, like everything, you know, we've seen like changes, some major good positive changes. But yeah, I mean, you know, I guess the cruelty literally like is there. I mean, I think it's just humanity more than it is actually Hollywood. Just right. But if you're talking about, you know, in terms of us actors with, you know, auditions and getting cast or not getting cast, you know, all the, you know the prejudice and all these things ingrained in, yeah, I mean, you know, it's been a part of it for so long. I'm just so grateful that I'm, you know, part of this era where things have been changing and the dialogue is there and we're getting more opportunities and having the opportunity to be part of it and do what we love. But you know, it's a process, and there is a part of it that I feel like it's not just in Hollywood, it's like in any field. You know, it's a lot of competition. Nothing is easy in anything. You know, people say, oh, it might be one of the hardest professions, as some people say, but I don't know, I think anything, like, you want to be good at anything is just like very hard.
Yeah, no, good answer. I mean, you're arriving in Hollywood at a time of change, and you know, the do is be a part of the change that you want to see happen. So I think it's a interesting time in Hollywood, to be sure. So our next user question is, you know, with X-Men 97 just kicking off, I'm not sure if you've had an opportunity yet, but what is the favorite Comic-Con you have attended?
Yeah, so I have not attended any Comic-Con, I'll be very honest, and so I am very excited to attend my very first one this coming weekend at Anaheim, WonderCon, and I'll be there. And so for everybody listening, please, you know, I mean, if you're going, I guess it's already like, I learned, like, I didn't know, like, how hard it is, or, like, how, you know, for you to be able to get a ticket and you have to be part of this, all these, it's crazy, you know?
Craziness.
So we were anyway, gonna go to WonderCon. We were gonna go WonderCon. We're sorry we're gonna miss you. We couldn't swing it this year.
That's a bummer. That's a bummer. There's gonna
Next
be other
time.
Opportunities. But yeah, that's gonna be my first one. And so for those who are attending, please come say hello. I'm also going to be gifting a Sunspot t-shirt, and I'm gonna be putting that, you know, on my social media, my Instagram, and you know, a little contest for people to enter. And there's going to be an X-Men panel on Saturday evening. So, yeah, I'm very excited.
No, that's awesome. I think you're going to have an incredible time. Comic-Cons are fun for fans and crazy for talent. I think you're going to get a huge reception. I can't wait to hear all about it. And I hope that you know, get to do more cons. We would definitely love to come hang out with you at a con sometime.
Oh, we're bringing you to New York Comic Con. That is it. New York Comic Con is the one we go to all that. We're pitching that. Anyways, we're gonna put a pin in that. We're putting a pin in that. But with that question of Comic Cons in mind, our next Familia question comes in saying, Gee, how does it feel to be part of the X-Men Familia? We are a fun and rambunctious bunch, but curious if you had any special fan moments yet. And by the way, Gee, the only right answer for this was us meeting by the pool at the premiere. That is the only right answer you have.
That is true. So that's what it is. That's the answer right there. But no, look, I am overjoyed. It's just so surreal to be part of this familia, because really, like I said, it felt like, especially that, you know, the after party afterwards where I started, you know, meet, you know, a lot of you, it's just like, oh my god, I mean, it's so much love, it's so much care for each other, and I really, it really felt like that. So look, it's been wonderful, it's been so surreal. And I mean, I have to say, you know, being when I, you know, I saw him, but I was like, you know, a little timid, and you know, I'm a little introvert at times. And so I was one of the very first ones to get to, you know, the after party area. And then a little bit after, Kyle showed up, and I was like, he sat down literally next to where we were sitting with me and my friends. And I'm like, oh my God, I gotta take a photo. So then I did. And I, you know, he was so cool. You know, with his, obviously his move and stuff, and
yeah,
you know, three fingers and you know, signature move. And it was so, so special. I think that's like one of my favorite moments.
Amazing. That's amazing. You're just like us. You geek out just like us.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, all right, our next question is maybe diving into a little bit of the research you did for the role, but do you have a favorite moment spot from the comics?
Yes. Yeah, it's true. I did, you know, I was, you know, the team Marvel, you know, sent me several, you know, issues of the comics, which was really wonderful. And there's one on the New Mutants and issue number 7. I thought it was so funny. You know, he's narrating what's happening, and they're like, you know, they're in trouble and they've been captured and stuff. And then all of a sudden, Deathbird shows up, and the guy, like the guys that like kidnapped them or like had them hostage and stuff, like one had a bird head as well. So she comes in and like slices, you know, the guy who had like a bird head, who was saying was gonna slice hers and stuff, and then she goes, and he narrates it, right? So he says, like, and then she goes and she kisses me, and then right after she punches me in the face, and then she kisses me again. I just like couldn't, I died. It was so funny. And then he continues and he said, and then I monologued parts from Notting Hill, and oh my god, I'm blanking on the other ones, like all the Julia Roberts movies. I'm like, oh my god, it's too funny. Anyway, that's my favorite one.
No, that's a good one. That's a good one. I can
Notting
picture
Hill. It was Notting Hill. That was the Julia Roberts movie that's mentioned.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, but he mentions three.
Yeah, let's see. Pelican Brief, Notting Hill, and Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman, yes. Oh my God, yes.
Anyways. Oh, that's an awesome moment. Any moment that involves Deathbird, I'm here for, especially. So then sort of piggybacking off of that, the next question that we have from our listeners, would you rather see Sunspot on the New Mutants or with X-Force?
Oh. Tough question.
Pros and cons for both.
Right. I'm gonna go with X-Force.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, it's his best costume. You might as well go with X-Force just so you can wear that amazing yellow collar.
That's why, you know. I mean, That's the main reason.
Okay, so we have two more questions, and then we're gonna let you go. The penultimate question is, and we know you had to be, you know, diplomatic when you answer this. What can we expect of Sunspot this season?
Yeah, very tough question. what are you going to expect? Look, what I'm going to say is that, again, I've mentioned it before. You won't be disappointed. He's not disappearing. You know, because people have asked me, like, is he gonna come? He's not kidnapped. He's not gone. So, you know, you'll see him, and you won't be disappointed.
Okay,
I can't wait. I can't wait to see him again. Truly,
I can't wait to see him truly powered up, because we've seen it in the promo images. We got a hint of it with his arm, but we have not seen him powered up.
Yeah.
We can't wait for that moment. But, okay, so our final listener question that came in, it's not so much of a question, but a statement. And our familia says, can you please tell Guy, thank you. I'm so happy to see myself represented in the X-Men.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. That means really a lot to me. Wow, yeah. Well, I didn't expect that right now. So thank you. It's so beautiful. It's been a joy. It's been such an incredible experience hearing, you know, from so many people, you know, from many different countries, you know, my home country, but here too, you know, the positive feedback, and I am really, really very grateful. So thank you for saying that. Thanks for supporting, thanks for watching. And you guys, thank you so much for this opportunity, for having me, and for all the love and care you guys pour into this experience.
Guy, you're so active on social media. Where can folks at home find you?
Yes, my Instagram is at Guy Agostini, A-G-U. There's no U in between. It's Agostini1. Also, Twitter, X. Oh, X. I gotta say that. X.
X.
You know, it's the same handle, and yes, please reach out. You know, I do my best to respond and to be active there, but yeah, I'll be sharing, you know, everything I can about the journey, and again, if you guys are attending WonderCon, please come say hello, hit me up, and join the contest.